I just, that's such like, and this is what I talked about yesterday. I think like people are starting to kind of shift their position of like, okay, is this constitutionally sound? I don't believe the government banning anything. But if we turn around and we look at our society, what do you think is one of the most influential things on the younger generations? How many of these detransitioning people are coming out and saying TikTok is what influenced me into doing this? But at the same time, though, it's like, why are you going to blame a platform when you're the one that allowed yourself to be manipulated? It's kind of like the same argument, like, did the guns kill people or did you kill the people using a gun that you bought from a gun company?
Welcome to the All American Savage Show podcast with your host, John Burke, and his far more attractive co-host, me. Now, let's get into it. That's what your mom said.
Welcome back to the All-American Savage Show podcast. I'm your host, John Burke, and I bet you're asking yourself, why is he here today? He was supposed to be gone. Well, we're going to go to the Renaissance Festival that's apparently local to us, but they're not open during the week. So we found that out last night. So I said, well, back into work I go, because I know you people miss me so much. You miss me so much. I'm your favorite podcaster, folks. Coming back to you live. Coming to us so strong. I know podcasts. I've got a massive entanglement of headphones here. Here we go.
Oh, my goodness.
Duh, so unprofessional, Josh. That should have been squared away prior to me coming in here. Make sure that doesn't happen again.
Sorry about that.
Oh, man. I hopefully y'all are all having a wonderful Wednesday. Don't forget, the 420 sale is still going strong over at shellshockcbd.com. Code 420 is going to save yourself 20% off site-wide. What are you waiting for? Go jump on that. Jump on that like Tess Holliday on a cupcake. That's just not funny because she doesn't jump. Anyway, it's going to be one of those shows, folks. Appreciate you being here for tuning in. And while you're at it, do that thing that you know that I like that you do with your finger. Hit that little retweet, that share button. Really appreciate that. Hit that like button. Leave a comment below on Rumble. If you hit the like button, it helps with the algorithms, stuff like that. And then the retweeting on Twitter. We get a good size viewership on Twitter, which is nice to see. Like, we'll average anywhere from 200 to 300 viewers live. Sometimes we get up to like 1,000, which is wonderful. Like, very grateful for that. So thank you very much. We got this email. They emailed support at allamericansavageshow.com. Great idea. This comes from Shane. He says, hey, John, I've had an idea for a contribution to the show for some time, and your recent comments about possibly ending the podcast really motivated me to get off my ass and send you this message while sitting on my ass. I'd like to present you to you the All-American Savage Show drinking game. Well, number one, we broadcast at noon. So if you're drinking while listening to this live, I'd suggest you go get help.
Or you're probably a Democrat.
Or you're probably a Democrat that's not working anyway and living off of Republican welfare money. So the All-American Savage Show drinking game. Do we have an intro for that? Like, what do we have? Like, we'll take it. Take a drink every time you hear the following. This is why we'll never be on Fox. And we're banned. Eagles, not chickens. Van Taylor got his butthole licked. Alec killed a guy. Wrong damn kid died. Well, Josh, that's beautiful because you're an ignorant. That's because you're an ignorant slut. We're so professional. When John goes on a rant lasting 60 seconds or more, consume half your drink. Dude, you're trying to get people alcohol poisoning with this. What is this? If Josh or John say, "Is a bazooka illegal?" finish your drink. If Josh tricks John into eating another flaming chip, buy $100 worth of Shell Shock CBD or 1920s brand. I want to thank you and Josh for all the years of political coverage and laughs. I know politics can be poison, but I truly appreciate you guys and all the work you do because honestly, in regards to politics, it's so rare to find and make me laugh my ass off. Thank you again and keep up the great work, gentlemen, in the arena. Thank you very much for that, Shane. I appreciate that. That was really awesome. Then I got another letter, fan mail. I'm not going to read this one, but it was a two-page letter from a gentleman who listens to the show named Andrew, I believe it is. Let me make sure I read this correctly. I don't want to give him the... Jacob. Got your letter, man. Thank you. Very, very well-written. Really hit home. Thank you for that. I greatly appreciate that. I do read the fan mail outside of the crazy ones that we get from time to time. Like, we get some doozies. But no, thank you for that. I do appreciate that. I got a special shout out today on Twitter from an account that I follow known as Bunk. It's pretty good. He said, let's look at the bright spots. So I know the topic of Con Inc. grifting has been a hot take lately. And what he's referring to, they are people that essentially are, I guess, political podcasters. They're doing it for the money. They're doing it to be in the in crowd. They refuse to take constitutional stances. Instead, they choose to go the easy route to what's going to get them the most views, the most money. They're not standing on principle, just things like that. So very grateful for this. He says, it's only right to shift gears and point out some people who don't fall into the grifter box since I'm being vocal about the ones who are. Tracy Beans is listed there. I don't know why. Not John Burr. I like Tracy. She's a good person. Monica on Air Talk and Deloche. I've not gotten a whiff of grift off any of these people to date and find their content so consistently to be consistently high quality and fair in its presentation. I don't know about high quality. I certainly don't know about professionalism because we exemplify none of that here. Not saying that's how it'll always be. The historical odds are terrible in conservative media. But for now, they're about all there is in the principled and have shown themselves to stay that way group. You know, for those who, like me, were surprised to find the D stick writer cult hiding among us and are still amazed at how many people aren't feeling like owning the libs by buying shitty razors, cigars, chocolate bars, and rap songs. There are oases in the desert. Yeah, I've noticed that. You know, I'm not against capitalism. I had one guy try to attack me on Twitter. It's like, he's a MAGA guy. He had like 30,000 people, and I made a post about the Shell Shock rack out gummies. He's like, I'm so tired of these political commentators doing this grift. It's like, what grift is that? Capitalism?
Yeah.
The very same thing that we stand for and believe in. Now, your point would have some merit if I was up here selling Trump shirts, which I'm not. Or selling Biden shirts, which I'm not. We're selling a product that Josh and I launched back in 2019 that's helped thousands upon thousands of people. And the reviews prove this. This was before we even did the podcast. Now, if that rubs you the wrong way to the MAGA people that don't like that, and I'm not accusing all MAGA, just that one douchebag, well, then explain to me the Trump NFTs, the Trump shoes, the Trump golf balls, the Trump Bibles, and you say nothing on that. Your silence is deafening. Don't come at me sideways when it comes to capitalism. I've had the same people in the veteran community go after me. It's like, you know, you sold out for money. I'd sell your mother out for money, dude. I don't give a damn about your principles when it comes to capitalism. Capitalism is what this nation was built upon, not just this, many nations. And if capitalism, me pursuing that dream, means I've sold out, well, then I guess I'm a sellout, and it doesn't really bother me. I sleep good at night because, number one, we've never lied to anybody about these products. We've also said, like, if it doesn't work, I'll give you your money back.
This is stuff we take as well.
Yeah, so where's the lie there? So excuse me if there's something wrong with saying I'm going to offer you a great product that we formulated at a very affordable price, and you get what you pay for. But we all know that it's not, their hatred of this is not really rooted in that. It's the fact that I am politically differing from them. They don't like that aspect of it. So they're going to attack these other cosmetic details to try and discredit me and character assassinate. But you always miss. You never land these points. They always miss. Because if you have an issue with me practicing capitalism, true capitalism, without government interventionism, then you're an enemy of capitalism. But I guess in their mind, it's like, if we're political commentators, you shouldn't make money doing this. Which, again, we don't. Not a lot. Our locals, I think we have like maybe 20 supporters, which I am grateful for. Please don't take that the wrong way. We don't make a lot of money. We're not Dave Rubin here.
Yeah.
We're not the Shapiro show. We're not Daily. We don't have producers here. Pretty sure you can tell that when you listen to the show. We don't have any of that. We literally pull the articles up and Josh and I sit here and we spitball from the hip. We don't have these pre-written things for writers. It's not what we do.
I think it's just conversations we have like outside of the podcast too that just, you know, naturally.
There's times like prior to the show, I'll tell you, like, save that for the show. Yeah. Like, that's a great discussion point. And I think that's just the way to go. I mean, some people, I'm not knocking those like Dave Rubin who do it differently. I'm just saying that we don't have the financial backing they do. And even if we did, I think the only thing would change is like maybe the backdrop, maybe some like cool little intro songs and stuff. Kind of like, I was listening to Steve Deese debate Chris Nelson over, who's from Twitter, and had to unfollow this guy. I don't consume any of Deese's content. And it's not that I don't like them. I don't consume anybody's content, just to be fair. But Chris Nelson was one of these massive DeSantis people who I respect him for. He'd fly off the handle on occasion, a little emotionally unstable. But I guess he was going after Steve Deese, saying he's untrustworthy, he's a grifter. And I guess Deese brought him on the show. And I listened to it, and people were asking my opinion on it. As I'll be frank, I don't think either of them came out of that debate looking good. I don't think Deese should have ever had him on the show, quite honestly. I think Chris is one of these people that he screams a lot. He's one of these guys. Well, I don't want to focus on that. But either way, you know, I listened to Deese's thing, and it's like listening to radio. It's like, back in a minute, boom, blah, blah. Have you tried beetroot? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, damn, that sounds so professional. So unlike us. So unlike us. Yeah, there you go. But no, we appreciate the support, man. And like I said, I get discouraged. I remember one dude in the chat even said, John goes through this. You get discouraged. Your letters mean a lot. Thank you for that. It's a constant battle, you know, especially on Twitter and places like that, that you're met with such strong opposition to constitutional beliefs that when you're calling out the left, well, they certainly love to support you then. Owning the libs, it's not hard. Owning libs is easy. Now, when you own your own, in a weird turn of phrase, I guess you could say, that's when they start taking offense. All I'm sitting here doing is just going back to the Constitution and saying, these are my beliefs. These are my thoughts. You can agree or disagree. I had one dude trying, like, another MAGA account trying to call me out, like, misquoting scripture. I was like, what? Every day it's something. It's so cancerous, though. It's social media is so cancerous. Like I said, if shell shock didn't depend upon social media, I would delete it in a heartbeat. I'd probably keep a personal account like I do for my Instagram for pictures and stuff like that. But outside, oh my God, it's cancer. It is such cancer. There's nothing good that comes from this. So, I don't know. But speaking of that, we got a lot of news to cover today. But with the first article I thought was really interesting, it says 21 brands that faded out after going woke. I have not read this. Off the top of your head, can you give me two that you might think have faded since going woke?
Disney?
I disagree on that one. They haven't faded.
No?
No.
You don't think Disney has?
Not fade. I think faded out. I think that implies like you're just not relevant anymore. Disney's still going to make money. Bud Light? I don't think they faded out. I guess faded out to me means like bankruptcy. They're no longer, I don't know. Let's get the first one and get a gist for it. 21 faded out of going woke. First one is, MyPillow. Wait, what? They didn't go woke. They went retarded. There's a difference. Actually, no, there's not. CEO of MyPillow, Mike Lindell, was met with a huge setback after getting too involved in politics. The decision wasn't merely a choice of right or left, but involved a series of promises to show the 2020 election winner was not President Biden. The company suffered a serious loss, a major advertising blah, 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 blah. Where, but they didn't go article? Woke. Yeah, this is from msm.com/en.eu. It's from Mike. They didn't go woke. He just really vested himself in Trump, and he went down with it. I don't know. Okay, the next one is Pink Parcel. In 2018, a period subscription service, Pink Parcel, launched an ad campaign with a transgender man. So, okay, I think they're just talking about brands that have kind of went down in the political spectrum. But to define this as going woke, they've already got that wrong on Mike Lindell. He's not woke.
Yeah.
He's retarded. There's a difference. No, actually, there's not. I should use a different description for that. He's a cultist. Let's just be honest with you. He's a cultist. And I'm not going to lie. The robes are not good. I did not like my robe. I didn't. I tried. Gave it a shot. And it's like, now the slippers. Didn't you say the slippers are good?
I have a robe and a pillow. Mm, I like them.
But you got Mike Lindell's dick, too. Anyway.
You're going to like the way it feels.
I guarantee it. Feels like stone election. While the campaign was meant to break stigma, there was plenty of stigma swirling around for female-born women when they are on their periods. Many felt the company should be focused on that before tackling other issues. You know what I do when I get my period? I stick a tampon up my butthole. Turns out it's just diarrhea. It's ridiculous. Pepsi and Kendall Jenner. What? A 2017 short film quickly fizzled after Pepsi was accused of exploiting a deep-seated racial divide and attempting to solve it with a young Jenner offering a can of beverage to the police officer. The ensuing backlash underscored the significance of marketers needing to seek out outside perspectives, especially if they want to be involved in the social justice, which is not something a typical Pepsi consumer truly expects from the company. I don't remember this at all. Do you remember this?
What was it?
I guess Kendall Jenner offered a Pepsi to a cop. In a commercial?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Was this to, like, what, the BLM Bulls? That was?
I think so, yeah. Oh, it was okay. Right around that time.
Wanted to burn a street down? Drink a Pepsi.
You look thirsty.
Victoria's Secret. 10 years ago, the lingerie brand debuted a campaign for a new bra line with the tagline, The Perfect Body. It featured Victoria's Secret Angels. The issue was these images were extremely edited, and there wasn't any variation in body shapes. Tall and skinny, the company later apologized for its unhealthy and harmful message. I can actually kind of agree with that. Like, the perfect body, what is the perfect body? Like, you can base it off of, like, cosmetics that have changed throughout history. Cultures exemplify different things to be considered beautiful. Like, again, in ancient Rome, the whiter and fatter you are, it showcased that you were rich, didn't have to work. People thought that was beautiful. In Greece, they thought, like, voluptuousness was very beautiful. In today's day and age, I want to say in, like, the 2000s, it was, like, damn near bulimia for women. Like, they had to be skin and bones. And then I feel like it's shifted now to where I think more women that are more well-rounded, in shape, things like it's considered more beautiful. So beauty standards change throughout time. But to say the perfect body and then you prance out these Victoria's Secret, like, I'll be honest with you. Like, what percentage of the population has, like, 3% body fat that these models have? And I'm not going woke here. I'm just saying that if you're going to try and appeal to a large audience, then maybe change your stuff that fits the modern woman. The modern woman, by the way, is not a size zero and has like less than 2% body fat. That's just not true. So it's like, yeah, to say the perfect body and then you have these women that look like the last thing they ate was like a bowl of soup like 3 weeks ago and the ribs are sticking out that you can play like a xylophone on them. That's not attractive and it's also not healthy. So I get that. Does anybody shop at Victoria's Secrets anymore? I think everybody gets their stuff offline these days.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing secret about that place, I tell you what. Bud Light. Oh, what's his face in the chat? Got it. In April, the beer, we all know the story about Bud Light. You okay?
Yeah, sorry.
You can take a sip. You got Mike Lindell's dick down your throat, don't you? That's why. Yep. Victoria's Secret's rebranding. In 2018, the lingerie giant took a surprising turn towards becoming a woke brand when they featured an ad that had a plus-size transgender female in it. This came after then Chief Marketing Officer Ed Razek made controversial remarks to Vogue about trans and plus size models. The company then rebranded towards a feminist viewpoint, and it didn't go over well because no one expected a company that shows off fantasy bras as being a driving force for feminism. Really need to learn your audience on that one. I don't think feminists like Victoria's Secrets. I think they prefer Hot Topic. Who knows?
I don't know. Why did they try to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, if it's working.
What they were doing was working.
They're trying to appeal to a different demographic is all it is. They're trying to stay relevant. Equinox, SoulCycle. In late 2019, billionaire Stephen Ross, who was the investor behind SoulCycle and Equinox Gym, faced serious criticism after regarding a fundraiser for Donald Trump. SoulCycle defended itself by emphasizing that Ross is a passive investor and they do not endorse political fundraising. The biggest problem with this is that Equinox and SoulCycle were aligned with the LGBTQ community, so the backlash was coming either way. I mean, Melania Trump just did a $10,000 ticket fundraiser for the LGBTQ. I mean, that's just one of those. No, I don't agree with that. I think the LGBTQ needs to be disqualified from conservatism. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. I'm not talking about all. I'm just talking about the T and the Q. It's ridiculous. But either way, to sit there and make the blatant lie of like Trump wasn't pro-gay, that's not true. Trump has always been pro-LGBTQ or pro-LGBTQ as well. I mean, he has them in his beauty pageants. So, I mean, this was just a lie.
The trannies?
Yeah. He allowed them to compete in his beauty competitions.
Is that before or after he sold it?
Before. Starbucks, Race Together. The company's Race Together campaign was supposed to ignite a national discussion about race. I'm tired of these brands saying, we need to talk about this. No, we've been talking about it. I mean, if you sit there and think about this, since the dawn of, back in my day, some 4 years ago, since the dawn of BS woke companies trying to further this agenda of we need to talk about racism, what headway has been made? It seems like we've gone backwards. Has any headway been made in race relations in America since the BLM movement was shut out and, you know, still lingers there collecting mildew and nonsense? Have race relations improved?
No. I think it's gotten worse. Since Barack Obama, it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
You'd think it would have gotten better. You're like,
I knew it wasn't going to. No, because I think I didn't have an issue with him being black. I'll be honest. I don't care about that. My thing was, though, is like it was going to be made an issue because you're going to see the alt-right, the hardcore racists really come to light. And in the age of social media, they're going to put a magnifying glass on that. And the left is going to use that as a club against the right to say, look how much racism you exemplify in your party. And they were partially right. But what they also didn't get right was the fact they have racism in their own party. A lot of it. Yeah. And it's the worst kind of racism in a sense of like they pretend to be your friend, but they're patronizing you. It's like, again, like look at Joe Biden, for example, the leader of the left. He said, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. Meaning, what gives you the right as a white man to dictate the terms of how a black man can be valid in his blackness unless he votes for you? How disingenuous is that? And then to sit there and treat them like they're stupid. I'm sorry, it's just the baby gloves have got to come off. The training wheels are not like, no, blacks, you're in America. Get used to it. It's like, you have internet access. You know where the polls are. If you don't know where they're at, well, then that's on you. You can go to Google. I mean, these are things that anybody can look up. I mean, even in the ghetto, you see people walking around with at minimum what? Not just a GAT, an iPhone. So don't feed me this line of bullshit. But that's what the left does. They patronize black people, and they use them as political pawns. Now, you do have people on the right that are just straight up racist. Are they as numerous as they were, say, about 10 years ago? No, I think the generation's dying off. I think the right is purging itself of the racism, but then you've got the Fuentes and these other people, they're bringing it back. And then the left is going to use it and say, look how much racism and anti-Semitism is embedded on the right. But on the flip side, though, and again, this is where I said that Trump could really score some good political points here, is that point out the anti-Semitism on the left. Because even though you see this, and I think a lot of this woke Gen Z nonsense, I think a lot of it's coming from them, and millennials, to be frank, that this is not the majority in the DNC. I don't feel it because even you have Fetterman, you have a lot of people out there. You've got a battle right now within the left. You've got the Jihad Squad, and then you've got moderate Democrats that support Biden and the rest of them. And the Jihad, they're outnumbered vastly. So I really feel like, and they support the anti-Semitism. They do it very subtly. And isn't it funny how it comes from Muslims in Congress? Huh, weird, right? All these, and this I'm going to be frank here and say this, all these leftist Democrats and all these woke Republicans, supposedly, that are backing Palestine, you are sitting there, you are welcoming the wolf into your sheep's den. If you think Jews are the problem, you got another thing coming. It's the Muslims. It's the militant Muslims. Or you could have maybe two problems as far as like Jewish nepotism, which I'm still trying to see the proof of. I mean, you could talk about the Rothschild, stuff like that. Yeah, I can agree with that. That's why I think we should abolish the Fed, yada, yada. I get all that. It's like, but at the same time, in terms of like violence, it's the militant Muslims. So you see all these white protesters out there in the streets like, free Palestine, blah, blah, blah. These are the same dudes that would kill you. And you don't even realize it. And if you think, you know, Middle Eastern Islam is going to progress in any way, shape, or form to say, like, you know what, we need to reach a new demographic, kind of how the Catholics have done. It's like, let's let the gays in. Muslims ain't going to do that. Yeah. They are not going to progress. So you can go out there with your little short pixie haired cuts and all this other stuff and protest for peace and yada, yada in Palestine, and they're still going to slit your throat the first chance they get because you're not Islam. I don't care if you believe that or not. That's the damn truth. That is the damn truth. Starbucks. Okay. Paramount. The decision to cast Scarlett Johansson as a Japanese character in Paramount's Ghost in the Shell movie sparked. Oh, I don't give a damn about this. Snapchat's slap Rihanna or punch Chris Brown. What? In 2018, the app posed the question to its users to slap Rihanna or punch Chris Brown. This ended up being a serious problem since the former couple had spent time in court after accusations of Brown being involved with domestic violence with Rihanna in 2009. That's stupid. Yeah. SpaghettiOs? The 72nd anniversary of Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor base, the canned pasta maker SpaghettiOs posted a tweet that featured its mascot holding an American flag, asking people to remember Pearl Harbor with them. The company later apologized, but many of their customers confused about its suggestive post. I don't see that as offensive at all. Remember Pearl Harbor? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we not allowed? What, is it because they could offend Japanese? I don't give a damn. Go live in Japan then. I don't give a shit. You see Tucker Carlson out there arguing against the atom bomb on Joe Rogan?
Yeah, I saw
him. Oh, he's off the deep end. Him and Candace Owens and the rest of the, there is a massive, you know, I called this years ago. I said that the GOP is going to have a lot of bloodletting within the ranks. I didn't think it was going to get this bad. And I didn't think they're going to go the way they're going. Like Tucker Carlson, of all people, to sit there and say that if you think it's good to drop an atomic bomb on anybody, then you're inherently evil. This is a globalistic idea. To think that we are all united in our humanity, it's a pipe dream.
Did you watch the interview?
Not all of it, no. Just the bits and segments of it. I mean, I watched it in like the entirety of that segment, but I didn't watch the full thing. Joe Rogan does not impress me. He's boring to me. Quite honestly, I feel like sometimes I'm listening to a stoner, but whatever. Probably people probably think the same thing about me.
He's a stoner, though.
He is. It's just kind of like...
I have to go back and watch the...
watch it. Tucker watch Carlson. He's even open to the idea that the world's flat. I'm like, okay. So this isn't really critical thinking. This is just based upon the fact that you feel like maybe we've been lied to about some things, and therefore now you have to question everything. It's like, I wouldn't necessarily call that critical thinking. I would say that's the lack of critical thinking, I think.
Because I heard him talking, too, about like UFOs and stuff like that. Mm. Not necessarily that they're
angels,
from,
yeah.
They're
out of space. He didn't say angel. He said under the ground, in the ocean. I'm right. Like, where are you getting this from? And then there's people that are trying to defend this thing. He's talking about angels. Like, show me where it says that in the Bible, where they're under the ground, where they're in the earth. That's not the purpose of guardian angels or angels like that. He's gone in this way that it's just kind of like, again, trying to sit there and create this juxtaposition that if you think dropping the atom bomb on people is a good thing, then you're an evil human being. You know, I reject the framework of your argument. Was it evil for them to murder over 3,000 sailors, civilians at Pearl Harbor? And, you know, it goes back to, you kind of look at what's happened with Israel and Gaza. Do you see where these people are starting to align themselves? It's like, if your retaliation is more than what they committed towards you, then you're an evil person. I seem to remember America that was, if you mess with us, we are going to destroy you. But now we have this globalistic idea, and Candace Owens is using Catholicism and Christianity now. Like, this woman converts to Catholicism like literally 2 days ago, and she's already speaking at Catholic conventions. This woman's a charlatan and a shill. Plus, I don't agree with Catholicism. I think it's dogma, but either way, to each their own. But the grift is ridiculous. Tucker gets booted from Fox because they lose the Dominion software out of court. They settle, so they have to fire Tucker. Now, Tucker has found himself alienated because now even Elon is like, Elon doesn't like Tucker now. Because really? Elon talked about the alien things, some other stuff, and Elon's going on there going like, he responded to a tweet where somebody's like, it was a very well-worded tweet. The guy said, I'd always knew, or he said, my metric that the left is insane and the right is just retarded is proven with this Tucker Carlson interview. And Elon responded with, correct. Like, he's lost faith in Tucker. Tucker, I understand that we have to question certain things, question the validity. I get it. But to sit there like Candace Owens is doing is trying to use the bombing of Dresden as some way of saying, like, you know, the Germans have been victims, blah, 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 blah. It's like, do you not know history? So what they try and do is they try and reframe history to fit their political narrative that they're trying to... Like, Candace Owens is a legitimate anti-Semite. She does not like Jews. It's very apparent. She just won't come out and say it. Now, Tucker Carlson, I don't know where he stands, but I you know, I look at these people and I think, what the hell happened to you? Like, you had it together for a while, and then you've just gone off into this Alex Jones conspiracy theorism that is like, bro, I think you need help. I think you need psychiatric help. I really do. Like, you're inherently evil if you think dropping a bomb on people is a good thing. How many lives did that potentially save? They were predicting that would save millions of lives. But then they come out with all the speculation, well, Japan was about to surrender. We don't know that. We didn't know that at all. But then again, it was a perfect time for America to flex to say, look, if this happens again, this is what you get. Patton even wanted to go in there and invade Russia and murder the Russians. He was like, we might as well get them now. We're eventually going to have to fight them. And he wasn't wrong. This globalistic tendency is just insane. It's insane. Oh, fucking please tell me everything Alex Jones was wrong besides Sandy Hill. You know, how many, I'm sorry, I didn't realize it had to be a number of things. I'm not Nostradamus. It's a Nostradamus. I don't watch Alex Jones. But I'm sorry, when you sit there and you say Sandy Hook was a false flag, I don't really care about anything you have to say after that. When you take something so disgusting and you try and, again, conspiracy theorism it, no, you're just a piece of shit in my book. So if you want to believe in the old, you know, Alex Jones, you go right ahead. But get the fuck out of here with that nonsense. That shit's fucking retarded to me. I cannot stand that. What else? He's been wrong about a lot of things. I don't have a list here because I don't watch the schmuck anymore. I actually never did. The guy's, yeah. He's insane. But the mental gymnastics that a lot of these fruitcakes go through to try and rationalize these statements, like that one dude talking about, like, Tucker Carlson was talking about angels. No, he wasn't. No, he was not. These people, like, if you want to worship Alex Jones, go to town. I don't fucking care. But don't come into my chat room and say, oh, fucking please, fuck off. It's ridiculous. These people start to piss me off. It's fucking ridiculous. Like, you won't even hold people accountable. Instead, you forgive certain things. Like, oh, well, he got that. But look at everything else he got right. Well, a blind squirrel's going to find a nut every so often. And then you use that to rationalize everything else that he has said. And you won't hold him accountable. You know, political commentating is not hard. You don't have to sit there and say, look, this is what it is. It's like, you know, this is my belief on it. I don't know if it's true or not. This guy got sued. And he lost. He peddled bullshit. And he knew it was bullshit.
Do you think that the decision for, what was it?
That's what people then come back with and try and rationalize and give him some, like, justification to a degree. Was it over the top? Yes. Do I give a fuck? No, I don't. I honestly do not give a shit. That's ridiculous.
Because after that one undercover video came out, was it James O'Keefe where he was talking to the CIA guy or former CIA guy?
James O'Keefe is another one that I have no respect for or belief in. Like, he's getting outed on Twitter right now.
You know what I'm talking about, though? Yeah. Where the guy was saying that you could get anybody arrested or whatever you need to do to get.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of things you can do.
I'm going to file a lawsuit against the CIA.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that. James O'Keefe's another one that, like, I never trusted this guy. And then when that whole thing came out about him, it was me saying, like, I'm not going to blindly follow somebody. But when the 990s show that you're spending large amounts of money on ridiculous things, I think that's a characteristic flaw. And I think that says a greater bit about you. And therefore, I don't really trust anything you have to say. Because if you're willing to take donor money that is meant to go towards a good thing to expose evil and corruption, and you put it towards funding a play that you're starring in, Oklahoma, and do, you know, a $12,000 Christmas party, I kind of feel like your fiscal obligations are not being met. You're being irresponsible. And if you're being irresponsible with somebody else's money, I don't know how you are when it comes to the truth. That's crazy to me. So it's crazy to me. Alex Jones is predicting 9/11. He's on tape predicting. You can predict anything. How did he know? How did Alex Jones know that? Are you saying that Alex Jones has touch with what, the CIA? You're saying that he talks to the CIA? Nostradamus predicted a lot of things. This is what I'm saying. It's like a matter of percentage and ratio to y'all. I'm to the point now where it's just kind of like, I don't care who it offends. It doesn't bother me. If you don't want to keep watching, then don't fucking keep watching. I don't care. But don't come in my fucking chat room and say, well, he got this right. He got one massively thing wrong and he got sued into oblivion for it. I know a lot of other political commentators that have not done that. Like, what? Let's ask ourselves, what is this need to predict? The need to predict. And I think a lot of podcasters do this because, you know, me saying just like not even 10 minutes ago, I called this years ago, the GOP is going to have a lot of infighting. That's not hard to predict. You can see the way the politics are going and say, it's going to happen. And here we are now in the midst of it. versus I think there's going to be a terrorist attack. Fine. Great. I mean, you predict. I mean, wonderful. What do you win? Like, let's go by your logic here because it doesn't fucking make sense to me. You say that, well, he predicted 9/11. Great, but he got Sandy Hook wrong. So explain that to me then. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Now, I think a lot of this is you want to believe in people because I don't think a lot of these people can think for themselves. I really don't. You want to believe in people. I'm not accusing these people in my chat. I'm just saying in general. I think that people idolize.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people? Talking about the whites, the Japanese bastards. I think people want to believe in somebody outside of like God, because I feel like they need to think that somebody else knows what's going on and they can get their news and truth from that source and they don't question it. I tell people here, question everything I say. If you don't agree, look it up. And if I'm wrong, correct me. But people like Alex Jones, what good has he brought, quite honestly? I'll be honest. Like, what good has he brought? The conspiracy theorism, the QAnon, all the rest of this nonsense from the likes of DC Drano. And now you've got Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, two big voices in the GOP movement. Like, what the hell is going on? The left is laughing at us right now.
At least Alex Jones was down there trying to get people not to go into the Capitol.
I'll give him that, but it doesn't mean I'm going to listen to what he has to say.
No. I think anybody could have good points on anything.
He had on Kanye and Nick Fuentes and sits there. It's nuts.
What he does. I think he's a good commentator.
Oh, he's an entertainer.
Yeah.
He's an entertainer.
Just like Candace Owens. I think some of the things that she has said, you know, make sense. Just like anybody. So I'm not going to take anybody's word as
I think it comes down to percentages.
Gospel. You know what I mean?
But I think it's like when the percentage of what you say is stupid and it vastly overwhelms the good things you say, I don't really want to listen to anything you have to say anymore because it's like, dude, I feel like now I have to hunt through the shit to find the kernel of corn, I guess, if that's a good analogy. I don't know. But either way, that's where I go on that.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Gillette and Me Too. I remember this. Gillette earned its name by promoting masculinity. However, in 2019, an ad made attempted to echo the ideals of the hashtag MeToo movement. The issue with this, according to social media, was that the ad made it seem as though all men do its fight, barbecue, and harass women. Oh.
Do you remember that?
I didn't.
It was kids wrestling.
Yeah.
And
yeah, toxic masculinity or whatever. Right. Yeah. And it's like you sell razors for men.
Yeah.
Know your audience. That's ridiculous. Nike and Dylan Mulvaney. Wait, Nike and Dylan Mulvaney? Nike has a long-standing history with success from controversial ads, but when the company made the decision to partner with trans influencer to promote Nike bras and leggings, it did not end well. Many questioned why the company didn't feature a biological woman. Swimmer Sharon Davis and tennis legend Martina Navratilova asked the same question. Still, the backlash was not as harsh as Bud Light's. I didn't remember he did that.
Same here.
I remember vaguely. And it's just kind of like, yeah, I wonder why Nike didn't get all that backlash either. To sit there and put a man in women's outfits and say this, yeah. And Dylan Mulvaney is a skinny little fruitcake. Honey Burdette. I don't even know. I guess it's a lingerie store. For its 2023 campaign, Australian lingerie company. Oh, that's why. Honey Burdette decided to use a non-binary burlesque performer and model, Jake Dupree. The company stayed its course despite experiencing significant backlash. The campaign's objective was to push culture forward, but despite the support of the LGBTQ community, Honey Burdette's primary customers are women. And that's it. Was that 21? Didn't feel like it. I think the Bud Light one, though, was just kind of like, dude, you guys really didn't know your customer base. Like, you really didn't know it. Just beyond me.
Yeah, why, I think so, too.
But I mean, it just goes to show when you bring in a liberal white woman as your marketing director, like, what'd you expect? Yeah. It's the same with what Elon did with this WEF plant. It's like, what did you expect? And now, by the way, Twitter 2.0 is just the same as Twitter 1.0. Oh, there's hate speech. Elon says free speech. It ain't free speech. And be honest with you, it's not even close to it. Now they flag your account if they feel like you're saying too many mean things. They can flag it.
Here he is right now. It says, breaking now, X has taken the top spot as the number one news app on the App Store in Australia. Mm-hmm. It says people want the truth. That's what Elon
said. Weren't they trying to ban it in Australia?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, there was an Australian politician that said Elon should be locked up for allowing people to say the things they do on his app. That's how committed these people are to being against free speech.
Right.
A politician calling for the imprisonment of a man who, by the way, isn't really giving you free speech, but he's giving you the closest thing, I think, that many people can get on social media these days.
It's better than it was.
It's slowly getting back. It's slowly reverting back.
I think, yeah, you do maybe have some holdovers from the previous owners that they still hold these ideas that, you know, we can't let these thoughts or ideas out there because it's going to radicalize people.
It's going to open them up to the truth,
anybody other than who we want to get elected.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Oh, my God. Remember in his show when the boys covered Sweden or Norway, controlling your AC or your thermostat? Guess who freaking predicted that? You're getting on my fucking nerves. You call in here all the fucking time. You sit there and you try and get like, dude, I'm done with you. I'm fucking done with you. You're gone. Bye. This is the same motherfucker. It's like, get Andy Frisillo. And it's like, dude, don't fucking tell me what to do in my chat. Like, I'm getting tired of that shit. That shit's annoying. Now, if you want, he predicted this. He also got some shit fucking wrong. You missed the entirety of the point. So if you want to blindly defend the guy, you be my guest. Go listen to him. Don't come into my chat room and say, looky here, looky here, looky here. I'm fucking done with that. I'm done with that. You people are going to start fucking hating me, but I don't give a damn. I don't fucking give a damn. Look at me when I'm saying this, or listen to me when I'm saying this. I have tried educating you the best that I can, but if you keep coming back in here and saying, look at this, he got this right, he got a lot of things wrong. I don't have a list of it because I don't listen to his shit. I don't sit here and compile all these things he got wrong. I don't care enough to do that. But if you sit there and you use the deaths of children to further a political narrative, get fucked. I don't care. I don't care. So you can either... And you can believe what you want. I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen. I'm not saying that. But don't come into my area and try and convince me this guy knows what the fuck he's talking about. Because I don't trust people like that. I don't trust Tucker Carlson. Candace Owens has been a massive disappointment. Even Ben Shapiro, I'm looking at, it's like, dude, like he is still all in for sending more actual financial aid to Israel. I'm like, no, absolutely not.
That's always been Ben Shapiro, though.
Yeah, it has. Like, but I understand where he's coming from on that.
If you listen to him all the way back in like 2013, 2014, it was, you know, he's a establishment guy.
He is, yeah.
You know, he was a Mitt Romney guy.
He is. It's funny to see how things like that have changed throughout time, though, how people's political perspectives have definitely shifted. Like, my God, like Romney of all people, though, he's really shown his true colors these last, what, 5-10 years? Like, they're actually saying he's considering, was it Harvard? Where he's like going and becoming the oversight, something on the board over there. It's like, I don't know if that, to help with the anti-Semitism, it's like, I don't know if that's going to do any good. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Joe Biden signs bill potentially banning TikTok bundled with Ukraine-Israel aid. Apparently now, according to the thing signed, they have 200-something days to sell the company or it's going to be banned. And people are just going to be using VPNs. I mean, you can still do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're just going to be using VPN. It just goes to show that whatever the government tries to ban, there's going to be workarounds around it. And you've not really stopped anything. Instead, you're just giving the government more control. It's beyond me. It's beyond me. Now, I get both sides of the argument of TikTok being a Chinese communist data collection platform. And then I also get it from the side of, you know, TikTok is being used by the Chinese to essentially destroy Western culture by ushering in the transgender nonsense, the craziness. They're putting that at the forefront. It does make sense to me. I get that side of the argument.
Rumble has also reached out to buy it.
TikTok?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. I don't know. That's such like, and this is what I talked about yesterday. I think like people are starting to kind of shift their position of like, okay, is this constitutionally sound? I don't believe the government banning anything. But if we turn around and we look at our society, what do you think is one of the most influential things on the younger generations? How many of these detransitioning people are coming out and saying TikTok is what influenced me into doing this? But at the same time, though, it's like, why are you going to blame a platform when you're the one that allowed yourself to be manipulated? It's kind of like the same argument, like, did the guns kill people or did you kill the people using a gun that you bought from a gun company? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like,
you know, I watch videos on TikTok, but it's same. Like golf related stuff like that, stuff that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
So
I mean, if they want to collect data on me, they probably already do. But at the same time, though, I'm just kind of like, go back to my previous statement as to why social media is so negative. A lot of it is based upon who we follow. Yeah. And the algorithm picks that up. So a lot of that is kind of our own fault. So we have to do like a timeline purge. But I kind of feel like with me, there's no way to unfollow all the political stuff because that's what I'm so ingrained into. That's what draws me there. And it's so negative. But with TikTok, though, for me, like, I love the cooking things. There's this one Chinese channel.
Oh, yeah, I like that, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, you just sit there and you just watch these dudes cook these amazing things. There's good things that TikTok can serve. And luckily, I don't get drawn into the transgender nonsense. And
I haven't seen any of that shit on my timeline. It'll come up as get golf stuff, camping stuff, recipes.
But I feel like that's also kind of a parental issue. Why are you letting your children on TikTok? Like, would you let your children on TikTok?
No.
Hell no.
Like, I don't think I'll get my kids a smartphone. Not until they're like, I don't know, late teenager, maybe. Mm. Maybe. I mean, when they have a phone, it'll be like a regular flip phone.
Yeah. You know,
it's not going to be a smartphone.
It's not going to be something they can.
No. They don't need that.
There we go. I'm going to unban La Machina. I know everybody's upset about that in the chat. I'm going to give him, he's going to cool off. I'm going to bring him back. I know he's a big fan of the show, but you're not going to come in here and act like an asshole. People are like, you banned one of ours. No, I'm going to silence him for a little bit because they need to calm the fuck down. The First Amendment. It's my channel. I do whatever the fuck I want. I don't hate him, but that dude, like I bet he already sent me a message on freaking Telegram. I bet he did. I'm going to look right now. Not yet. Maybe later he will. He's the one that like wanted me to get up with Dream Rare. It's like, No. And then it just causes more commotion. So. President Joe Biden signed into law Wednesday a $95 billion war aid measure that includes aid for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan. It also includes a provision that would force a social media site like TikTok to be sold or be banned in the U.S., The announcement marks an end to long, painful battle with Republicans in Congress over urgently needed assistance for Ukraine. We rose to the moment, we came together, and we got it done, Biden said at a White House event to announce the signing. Now we need to move fast, and we are. But significant damage has been done to the Biden administration's effort to help Ukraine repel Russia's brutal invasion during the funding impasse that dates back to August, when Democratic president made his first emergency spending request for Ukraine aid. How much have we given them now?
It's well over $100 billion.
I think it's been more than that.
Yeah, it's who knows? They keep sending them money.
I mean, somebody has to have. Hold on, let me look this up. There's got to be somebody that has an actual figure on how much money total. How much?
Red Hulk said $154 billion.
I could see that. Joe Biden administration director $75 billion assists to Ukraine, which humanitarian. Blah, blah. So 75 on top of the 60, Biden signs $95 billion. Oh, my God. That's your money, folks. That's your money. That is your money. I don't get it. I just don't get it. We still have the gas. These people hate
it's
America.
It's all a money laundering scheme.
I think so, too.
That's all it is.
I can see that. I can see that.
That's why you get all these people together to vote on and to pass these bills to send them.
What do we get from these people?
Nothing. We get zero.
We get nothing.
It's these elites, these people in charge that just keep getting more and more wealthy and
it's ridiculous.
More and more powerful. And we get stuck holding the bill.
You know, I understand how Trump can be, you know, I have my issues with him from a right or a constitutional standpoint. The left takes issues with him for completely fabricated, made up stuff. Like, I really think if Trump was actually registered as a Democrat and still did the things he did, the Democrats would love him. They would love him. I really think so, because everything he does, it's not really fitting with conservatism.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like
tax cuts are
I think
conservative.
Democrats, I wouldn't even, well, yeah, but I think Democrats love the tax cuts as well because it benefits them.
Right.
But I think they only use it during election years to look at the right and say, look at how they give all the wealthy. It just backs this narrative of like the Republicans only care about corporate America when that's actually not true. I think they lie. I mean, of course they all freaking lie, but still, you know where I'm going with that. Biden said the transfer of an initial aid package of military assistance will begin in a matter of hours. The first tranche from about $61 billion allocated for Ukraine, according to U.S. officials, it is expected to include air defense capabilities, artillery rounds, armored vehicles, and other weapons to shore up Ukrainian forces who have seen morale sink as Russian President Vladimir Putin has racked up win after win. At what point do you say, you know, look, y'all need to figure this out? It feels like I mean, folks, if you think about it, this war is going into year three now coming up. We're in via proxy in another forever war.
You know, going back to the taxes, so even Clinton, under his presidency, it showed that he vetoed a bill for a $792 billion tax cut. So yeah, he vetoed it. So Democrats, they're not about tax cuts.
I'm talking about like Democrat voters, though. I'm not talking about politicians. I think Democrats, I mean, look at Democrats right now. I mean, they're bitching about taxes.
Like, I had that one friend who was a staunch Democrat who was like, no, taxes should be higher because of all this debt that we have.
Oh,
I'm
I
like,
know.
You think the government can spend your money better than you can?
They don't even pay off the debt. Yeah.
If they collected $4 trillion in taxes and then overspent by, I don't know, $2-3 billion or $2-3 trillion, then they don't know what they're doing.
No, clearly not. I mean, if they were business, they've gone under. They don't care.
But
they know exactly. They know exactly what they're doing. Going in dry, not even using shell shock CBD lube. But long term, it remains uncertain if Ukraine, after months of losses in eastern Ukraine and sustaining massive damage to its infrastructure, can make enough progress to sustain American political support before burning through the latest influx of money. I think, you know, at first, I think a lot, I shouldn't say a lot, but I feel like there were some Republicans that were in favor of it, and there still are. But Democrats, I think, by and large, unanimously were in favor of Ukraine aid. But now I feel like the tides are starting to shift where people are kind of like looking at gas prices, looking at their wallet. It's like, okay, look, why are we giving them all this money? We're forgiving. It seems like the only people that are not being helped are the ones that are in, they're paying taxes.
Yeah.
Biden's forgiving how many millions in student loans?
Now it's billions.
It's billions.
And everything they do is in billions.
I saw this one guy. He's a Gen Zer or Gen Xer. He talked about he got his $200,000 student loan forgiven, and now he's thinking about going to India to study there. And I'm like, what the what the hell, dude? There's no loyalty. There's none. But I mean, to be honest with you, there shouldn't be any. It should be like, if you took a loan, then you have to pay back the loan.
That's
just the way it goes.
That's how loans work.
That's how loans work.
Yeah.
But the way they see it is that, like, if we forgive this loan, it's going to make them more productive members of society. They're going to pay more in taxes because they go out there and find a job. And I'm like, there's no guarantee on that. And there's no guarantee they're even going to find a job in the field they got a degree in. My brother didn't. He went for psychology. He works for Amazon. And it's like, what? That's not always the case. But if we forgive that loan, what good does that do?
Yeah.
I'm just really over with this. It's nuts. People are dumb. People are dumb. I saw this article. I had to grab this. Fatal zombie deer disease found in West Virginia National Historic Park. Chronic wasting disease is a highly contagious fatal disease that affects animals such as deer, moose, elk, and reindeer, causing psychological and behavioral changes, starvation, and death. The reason I pulled this is my last hunting trip. I didn't know this. But I forget which organization is. They go around to various places where you can hunt and they test the deer. And you know how they test the deer? They have to snip part of the rectum. And they test it for this disease. Because if they find this disease on your property, they'll kill all the deer. It's that bad. It's a real thing. Now, I'm not trying to say, oh, be worried. This has been around for a very long time. But there apparently is an outbreak in this park. And it's like they're probably going to have to go in there and kill all the deer. Because it spreads so quickly. Because I found that out from my hunting guide before. He said he had to do it. He said he hated doing it because he knew the deer were in so much pain. Two white-tailed deer inside Harper's Ferry National Historic Park in West Virginia have tested positive for the fatal chronic wasting disease, CWD. The National Park Service has announced Tuesday. This marks the first CWD positive detection for a national park in the state of West Virginia, the NPS added. CWD is a highly contagious fatal disease that affects animals such as deer, moose, elk, and reindeer, causing psychological and behavioral changes, starvation, and then death. The NPS says some of those behavioral changes include depression, altered gait, head tremors, and circling. Those behaviors are the reasons why animals infected with CWD have unofficially been called zombie deer. The latest discovery came during recent white-tailed deer reduction and operations and the subsequent disease sampling, and both animals were from portions of the park in Jefferson County, West Virginia. Two nearby national parks in Maryland, Antietam and Monocacy National Battlefields, also recently saw their first CWD positive test result in early March. I forget what the actual causation of this was. I mean, clearly it's a transmissible disease, but I don't know where it stemmed from. The NPS said Harper's Ferry and other national parks in the area reduced deer populations to protect and restore native plants and preserve historic landscapes. National parks in Washington, D.C., Maryland, West Virginia that conduct deer reduction operations also participate in the CWD monitoring programs. Until this year, all results for parks in those locations have been negative. Loco with a $5 says, John got worked up today and that got me hot and bothered. Still refused to buy a computer to sub on. I appreciate that. The NPS says there is currently no evidence to suggest that CWD can infect humans. However, the recommendation that tissue from CWD infected animals not be eaten. Yeah, would you ever want to be eating tissue from? No, absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. The NPS said, and they test this. Like, they go around and they test these hunting locations for this to make sure that there's nothing in the population that's coming down with this, because once it gets in there, it's going to spread and turn them all into zombies.
Huh.
Yeah. But I'm not saying this to scare people. This is not as big a deal as you might think it is. This has been around for a very long time. It's well under control. It sucks. Fake news said wear a mask. It's one of those things, though, that, like, it sucks if you're a landowner and you rent your land for hunting. If you get it, like, your crop's gone and you have to repopulate. It's a pain in the ass. Oh, my God.
That's a lot of money, too.
That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money, especially those high fence hunting areas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, Cliff says, I think it's a variant of Lyme disease from the ticks that feed on the I don't know. I don't know.
You don't think it's because they're gay?
I think it's because they're gay.
That's what Agent X6 said.
John, look up Blue Hog, Morgan Hill, California. What is that? It's caused by furries having unprotected butt sex in the wild. Oh, my God. True Social CEO. You might be interested in this. No, I'm just saying. Calls on House to investigate potential unlawful manipulation of DJT stock. I'm curious on this.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's true. I've not read this article. It's like, is there unlawful manipulation? I'm wondering how.
Let me take a guess. Is that because they...
we can read it. I have no idea.
Gave it bad publicity. And so
they shit-talked it
so much that people are like, oh, God, I got to get rid of this thing because it's going to tank.
Who really shit-talked it, though?
I don't know. Everybody...
No, because I was watching...
mainstream media.
I was watching CNN and they had on people. I remember watching one interview. The guy was like, I don't know. He's like, it could go either way. We don't know. Like, because I think with people like in the stock market, they're not going to lie for political purposes because they watch that and their reputation depends on it.
You think so?
I genuinely, I'm not talking about CNN analysts.
I heard
analysts. Something
pretty interesting the other day was about how these, they get like insider information. And so it comes from the government and it goes to these stockbrokers and shit like that. And then it just it's a continuous cycle.
It's possible. I mean, I would say if you're really going to become invested in this, no pun intended, I would just go to Nancy Pelosi or Dan Crenshaw's portfolio and just, you know, invest in what they're investing in. They know. It's like, why are you going to like eliminate the cheat sheet? Like if they're saying we don't do it, but then they're doing it. It's like, well, then invest what they're investing in. That's just me. But who knows? In a letter to Devin Nunes, the CEO of Trump Media Technology Group, is asking House committee leaders to investigate the potential unlawful manipulation of the DJT. So what's that at right now, by the way? Do you know off the top of your head? DJT stock?
I thought it jumped back up to like 30-something. Mm. I could tell you real quick. Hang on.
In a letter to the committees, Nunes pointed out the DJT, the initials for Donald Trump, has appeared every day since April 2nd on NASDAQ's Reg Show threshold list, which he said is indicative of unlawful trading activity. Concern follows Trump Media and Technology Group, whose flagship product is social networking site True Social, began being traded late last month on the NASDAQ stock market.
It's at 3528.
3528, okay. Hmm. This particularly troubling given that naked short selling often entails sophisticated market participations profiting at the expense of retail investors, Nunes wrote in the letter released on Tuesday. Reports indicate that as of April 3rd, 2024, DJT was the single most expensive stock to short in U.S. markets by a significant margin, meaning that brokers have a significant financial incentive to lend non-existent shares. California Republican is also a former chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee of Intelligence. Nunes also wrote that data made available for us indicated that just four market participants have been responsible for over 60% of the extraordinary volume DJT shares traded: Citadel Securities, Virtue Americas, G1 Executive Services, and Jane Street Capital. The former House Intelligence Committee chairman called on the committee to open an investigation of anomalous trading of DJT to determine its extent and purpose of whether any laws, including RICO statutes, and tax evasion laws were violated so that the perpetrators of any... I mean, here's the thing. I don't know. He could be right. He could be right. Or he could be completely wrong. There's my Alex Jones prediction for everybody in the chat that loves that. You know, it could be, it could be right or it could be wrong. I don't know why I made him sound like Oscar the Grouch or whatever, but still, I don't know. I'm not an expert on this kind of stuff. This is one of those kind of things you just got to sit back and be like, let them investigate. I don't know. But this is also where Trump's incessant whining kind of works against him. He always claims victim to a lot of things. Oh, by the way, they're trying to get him for the gag order violation. Did you see that?
That whole thing is bullshit.
It is bullshit, but he keeps feeding the fire. He won't shut the hell up. It's like, you've got a lot of people on your side. You can't
blame him for wanting to stick up for himself when you have idiots like Stormy Daniels and then Michael Cohen going on there shit-talking him on a daily basis, and this guy's supposed to just sit there and...
Michael Avenatti as well, who, by the way, I think is testifying in that for Trump.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you've got... one of the, if not the main figurehead of that entire operation that's going to testify in your defense. It's like, okay, that's your get out of jail free card right there.
If I had Alex Jones's thing, almost to me, it seems like Michael Cohen set him up from the very beginning with this stuff because he had recordings of Donald Trump. Do you remember that?
He
came out with recordings. Secret recordings of their conversations and shit. So it's almost like,
well, hold on there. Wait a minute. Now, there's various different ways of cutting this cake. Michael Cohen is not a smart individual. That guy's doing live TikToks every day now, shit talking Trump. Let me finish on this one. I think Michael Cohen, though, is also smart enough to know that when you see the past histories of how Trump throws people away after he's done using them, Giuliani being one of them, a lot of people in his circle like that, I think Cohen was doing this to protect himself potentially in the future. I think he knew what could possibly happen to him as his personal lawyer. And then he's like, I'm going to have some get out of jail free content. I could see him doing something like that, because here's the other reason. Why would he have those videos and recordings if he didn't think there was something up? To set him up for the future.
I don't think he's smart enough. Because Trump has been hinting that he's going to run for president since 2012.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's my guess. If I had Alex Jones's thing.
I think he was trying to predict
what's going on.
I think the left scared him and he coupled. I think he buckled. I think
most of these guys did.
I think they did.
I think all those people that went to Georgia and pled guilty to all those, I mean, I think they did it out of fear and
not wanting
to go completely bankrupt because they're going up against a government that has endless pockets.
Potentially, yes. But then when you've got Trump's own people literally under oath saying, yeah, we knew the election wasn't rigged. These were our marching orders.
Why would they say that after they come out of court?
Well, I mean, Trump... why didn't Trump ever get tried?
I think they said it because they were afraid of the repercussions that they were already facing. If you're facing the United States government, who again can, look what they did to Mike Flynn, all these people.
Yeah, true.
So
there is that, and that's why it kind of feels like it murkies the water, and you can kind of go either way. I don't know what the truth is anymore. So but what I do know,
you almost need a giant asshole like Donald Trump who just doesn't give a fuck. You could say whatever you want about the guy. He just doesn't care, personally. But as far as defending himself, he's going to get out there and just...
He's doing it at his own detriment. He needs to shut up. Because you've got the cards that you need to play. But if you violate this gag order and you're giving them more and more reasons to crucify you, it's like you're not doing yourself any good right now. It's just... that's the other thing, why he blows through lawyers so much, because his lawyers can't control him.
I could just see it both ways. I can't say that I blame the guy for sticking up for him when he feels like he's in the right and he's being treated lot unfairly, differently than most other people. Because what about Joe Biden?
But it's hard to sit there.
How does Joe Biden have...
Let's stay on one topic at a time. It's hard to sit there and take that position and say, look what they're doing to Donald Trump. While at the same time, Trump is violating gag orders. And it's like, well, I can't defend that. I can defend the other things. So it's like... that's why it turns into this thing of, I just don't care anymore. Because it's like, which side is right, which side is wrong? I don't know. And it's like, I just, I'm over it. I'm over the drama. But it feels like, it feels like this is a reoccurring thing.
Like knocking these people, like knocking off Alex Jones or knocking off Donald Trump. And then, you know, the rest of us will fall in line.
Well, I disagree with that. Now, hold on. They got Alex Jones for the Sandy Hook stuff. They have not got Shapiro. They've not got Matt. They've got nobody at the Daily Wire. They've got nobody at The Hill. They've got no, there's a lot of people they haven't gotten. So I have to disagree on that one. To sit there and say that they're going after you next, how many people, I mean, they have,
I don't know.
I don't see that. I see a lot of conservative podcasters that are actually bigger than Alex Jones that they're not touching. Now, you could say they're in bed with them. I disagree with that. I don't think anybody in the Daily Wire is in bed with the government to that degree. I think they probably have some pull in the government. I'm not going to lie. I feel like the Daily Wire is like a big lobbyist group, unofficially. But I don't know. I don't know. It's too easy to go into the conspiracy theorism of they're out to get everybody. It's like they've gotten a few people.
I don't necessarily know that it's a conspiracy theory. You think it's that they're out for everybody when you go back and look at what they did on Twitter, what they did on Facebook, when you have the government reaching out to these organizations saying, cancel him, cancel right, her, right. cancel them, yeah. cancel that organization. You know, and
but now you're conflating. Now you're conflating censorship.
That's not a conspiracy theory. That actually happened.
But you're conflating that with the government actually trying these people. Putting them in court versus censoring them.
Well, it's the
now, neither
step.
Of them are good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that either of them are good. But to say that, and yeah, I agree with you. They did censor. That pisses me off. And also, they did this under Trump. When the Twitter files dropped, that was also under the Trump administration. But and they were doing it too.
Democrats going after, yeah, I think they do it to a certain extent. Say, hey, this story remember when is
they
wrong. Dropped?
No, let's get this clear. Both sides were doing this. When the Twitter files dropped, this was not just dropping the glove on the Democrats. The Republicans were paying Twitter as well. So that's why I was like, this isn't a left v. right. This is a government versus the people. That's the difference there. So if you're going to say censorship, both sides were doing this at the hands of the government.
But I thought the...
That was your first mistake you thought, Josh.
Coming
you
out of
slut,
the,
drink.
Like the Trump campaign was more of stories that weren't true rather than
it's
having
possible,
the
yeah.
Democrats come going and talking or the FBI,
okay,
CIA.
But answer me this then. This is something that doesn't make sense to me. If prior to 2016 that the Russian collusion nonsense got made up and Trump fully believed and still does believe the FBI spied on him. And I believe that too under the Obama administration. And to think the FBI, like the first time they've done that, that's not true. Like the FBI has been utilized many times for political purposes. So if the same FBI that has spied on Donald Trump, that is from the likes of Peter Stroh and Lisa Page, that have been his number one enemy, why do you turn around and kiss their ass? What does that tell you? That I think you're in bed with them. I think if you're not willing to fight against the same people that prosecuted you, you're either number one in bed with them or you're trying to play nice to them to convert them over to your side. But that's not Trump. That's not what Trump does.
Yeah, if I was him, I would just shut the FBI down completely.
I agree.
Obviously, they haven't done anything right. Same with the CIA. I don't think they've done anything.
Well, they've done some. Let's give them credit. They've done a lot of things right. But again, all have they done wrong? There's no metric for this.
Right.
That's why I kind of feel like the FDA, same thing.
Right.
So, but
I just don't try. I mean, if they could do what they've done and have all these side conversations and about we have got insurance policies and all this other shit, then, you know, it needs to be done away with.
I just kind of feel like if both sides are guilty and implicit of doing this, then this and the more that they can try and keep us at each other's throats of left v. right or right v. right within the GOP right now, that's what they want. Because again, they continue positioning themselves and posturing as if they are the solution to the problem they help create and also exacerbate on the daily via the MSM, via Twitter, via Facebook. Now, the other thing that I get really irked about is that you know, the article we read yesterday about like 20-something different examples of where the government actually interfered in the election, these are true. You know, the censorship of RFK, the censorship of Trump. But then again, you turn around and you say, okay, it's true, but what is the government doing about it? So it's like, do you really want to fix this problem?
The government.
Yeah, do you really want to fix this problem? Are you just saying, look at this problem? It's like, yeah, we see it, but you're doing nothing about it.
That's what I see too. Most of the time is they get up on Capitol Hill and they just bullshit. They bring up Zuckerberg and
nothing on the border.
Humiliate him in front of everybody and then he goes back to his mansion.
I think Zuckerberg kind of knows like, we're going to go do this. We'll get drugged through the races. But guess what? I'm a freaking billionaire. I don't care.
Like the best thing that we ever had was when Elon Musk took over Twitter and then had the Twitter files.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I think that's the most clarity that we've seen.
But then
out
Elon
of anybody.
Turns around and brings in a WEF CEO. It's like,
yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, huh, what happened? what happened there? But
I think Elon was trying to play both sides.
I think it's better than it was. You know, at least you don't have to worry about getting suspended for calling somebody a
tranny. Actually, no, you can.
Or a cunt.
Yeah, you can. I got suspended for saying burn it all down in a figurative manner. And they said that's calling for violence. It's like, yeah, your algorithms are garbage. They're garbage. all right, let's move on to the next one. Ex-DHS disinformation chief. You remember this? The Mary Poppins wackadoodle they tried hiring, and that lasted all of like a month because she was like, they pulled up her social media and she's like, batshit crazy. Remember that? Well, American Sunlight Project won't reveal its donors, but threatens to investigate, ex-DHS disinformation chief, that's that woman, starts bipartisan watchdog, accuses GOP of sexist investigations. Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, we're bipartisan, but I'm going after the GOP. Bullshit. Stop. I'm like, stop. It's ridiculous. The Mary Poppins of misinformation has started a new band outside the Department of Homeland Security, and this Department of Tortured Poets is testing fresh material about the bad blood stemming from her brief leadership of the slightly longer-lived Disinformation Governance Board. I'm so glad that didn't happen. Nina Jankowicz, whose Hunter Biden laptop trutherism and chirpy songs about information laundering, immediately made the DHS board a punchline, co-founded a nonprofit watchdog this month with former feds, DC think tankers, and social media executives whose mission is to increase the cost of lies that undermine our democracy. If that does not make you afraid, then you need to wake up. What they're basically positioning themselves into is a position of, we are going to be the arbiters of what we deem to be truth and what we deem to be lies. And folks, when you're in bed with social media elites and DC think tank, you know it's corrupt. It's a corrupted organization. I don't care if it was founded yesterday. It's already corrupt. I'm telling you right now, the moment anybody tries to put themselves in the position of saying we are going to determine what's truth and what's not, you're already wrong. You are already wrong. That is not liberty. That is not freedom. Because again, folks, where were all these people prior to social media? Were they doing this to newspapers, television programs? Was there somebody there saying, you have to pass through us to be determined if that's truth or not? No. Every network had its own agenda. Don't get me wrong. Of course they did. It wasn't as blatant as it is now. I mean, CNN was never as bad as it is now. Fox News, well, I don't know about them. I have no idea. I never watched Fox, and I never watched CNN for that matter, but I remember seeing bits of CNN pre-Trump, and it was never this bad. Like, the TDS really rocked those guys. She introduced the American Sunlight Project in a statement written in both the first and third person on its site, which heavily showcases the CEO's past work. The project will expose the infrastructure and funding behind the disinformation campaigns that have falsely claimed the federal government is overseeing a vast censorship regime in coordination with social media platforms, academic institutions, and civil society organizations, the statement says. Yeah, you're full of shit. The Twitter files already debunked that. You're lying. You are lying. That's not true whatsoever. So again, it's this appearance of we're a bipartisan group. Really? Name me the Republicans of prominence that you have in that movement that are actually registered Republicans. And even then, you have people like Mike Johnson, registered Republican, Speaker of the House. That is not a Republican. These guys are rhinos. By the way, guess who came out and supported Mike Johnson's decision to give it over to the Democrats to vote on it? Anybody know? Posted on Twitter today.
What was that guy's name?
That Trump endorsed?
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan comes out. It's a good thing that Mike Johnson handed it over to Democrats to let them usher in the vote. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you say you're going to stop beating me, but you keep punching me in the face. And here we are. Say, they're going to stop tomorrow. Bam! In the face. Take a dick to the face. Bam! Done. How many times does Lucy have to pull the football from Charlie Brown and you crack your skull open?
Paul Ryan, is he still in politics?
Yeah. Well, he's not in a position, no, but he's an advisor. Major. He advised Mike Johnson. Oh, yeah. That's hilarious to me.
Yeah, that's got to be a good job where you don't have to get elected, but you can still tell people what to do.
He's basically a lobbyist. So, on yesterday's show, I talked about this very briefly, about the Columbia University Jewish professor that was basically banned from the Columbia State University campus for fear of danger of his life. I said it briefly yesterday, and come to find out, well, just listen to this. It's one of these things of like the eagles or the chickens have come home to roost, and this is what you created. Columbia U professor calling for police escort amid anti-Israel protests was also a defund the police advocate. So, you know, this is where we get into the complexities, into the grass or the weeds of things of like, wait a minute. So you're experiencing anti-Semitism, which you are as a Jew, but you're also a liberal Jew. You stood on defunding the police and then you call for the police. It's like, I kind of don't feel sorry for you anymore. Not you, him personally, I'm talking about. Like, yeah, dude, you want to be
Free Palestine.
Free Palestine. That's a Columbia University professor speaking out against anti-Israel protesters and calling on police to protect him. The professor, however, has a history of anti-police activism. Oh, really? But notice how they try running with this of like, you know, they wouldn't even let this Jewish professor on this campus. And it's like, yeah, because they said, like, we can't protect you. And by the way, cops don't want to, they don't want to, because you want to defund them.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you're on your own, dude. If I was a cop, I wouldn't want to protect you either. You're on your own. You Jew. No, I'm just kidding. On Monday, Columbia Business School assistant professor Shia Davidia, who is Jewish, attempted to lead counter protesters against an anti-Israel demonstration known as Gaza Solidarity Encampment, but was denied access to campus after his ID was deactivated. Okay. As Breitbart News reported, the professor was also denied access to the university's main campus on Friday, ostensibly for his own safety from an anti-Israel mob. I kind of understand that. It's like, hey, you can't come in. We can't guarantee your protection, which is a failure on their part from the get-go. It's like, why can't you? You should have this under control. Why do they have the right to protest but threatens my livelihood so I can't go to my place of business? How is that correct?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a peaceful protest.
Not at all. On Sunday, though, Davida sent an email to Columbia University administrators, including University President Manoush Shafiq, warning them that he planned on arriving to campus on Monday to sit in the middle of the Gaza Solidarity Encampment and called on the school to provide him with a police escort while he did so. Last I checked, I'm still a professor at Columbia University, Davida began in his email, which he shared in an ex-Twitter post. Therefore, I plan to go tomorrow, Monday morning, and sit peacefully right in the center of the illegal encampment that you have allowed the pro-mosque mob to establish in the middle of campus, the professor continued. Davida then accused university administrators of completely failing to protect the safety of Jewish students, adding that he is therefore requesting approval to have a police escort of at least 10 cops with me.
I would love for the police to be like, sorry, yeah. We were defunded.
It's not in our budget, bro. Sorry.
Sorry.
Professor indicated that he wanted his police escort to consist of officers from the New York Police Department, adding, I would ask for escort from the school's public safety, but they have proven themselves useless versus these mobs, and I do not want to put their lives at risk. We will be coming. I'm an employee, and they are your students. You have a responsibility to protect our physical safety, Davida concluded in an email. While the professor is demanding the law enforcement protect him, Davida has made anti-police remarks in the past, accusing officers of using their weapons disproportionately on black men. My, oh my. Aren't you worried that the evil racist police will shoot people? Author and filmmaker Mike Cernovich. Yeah, Cerno is another Bernie bro retard. I don't listen to anything that schmuck has to say.
He's a Bernie bro?
No, he was a Bernie bro. Yep.
Cernovich was.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Davida, meanwhile, is currently under investigation by the university due to allegations of harassing students. The professor has more than 50 complaints against them, Shafiq said, according to a CNN. But again, you know, that's also one of the things that you're going to try and character assassinate the guy, and you're going to fabricate a lot of stuff. Who filed these complaints? When were they filed? Were they filed all within, like, the last month? Oh, how ironic. I mean, there's a lot there. He says, they're investigating me for the entire reason this hearing was held in the first place. He said, Columbia is investigating me for my social media tweets and only my social media tweets. As Breitbart News reported in October, Davida called Shafiq a coward while blasting the university for failing to respond to pro-terror student organizations on campus in the wake of October 7th Hamas terrorist attack in Israel. You get into the weeds on a lot of this stuff, and it's like they're not always as innocent as they claim to be or as they make themselves out to be. It's like, interesting. And then you know the anti-Semites are going to run with that. So you know the Jew you can't freaking trust. It's like, well, that's more of a liberal thing, but okay. I mean, yeah. It's like, dude, you give them ammunition to use against you, quite honestly. So I don't know which one we tell you at that point. conservatives. I mean, even people like me was like, that's bullshit. And then you find out the rest of the story is like, okay, okay, wait a minute now. You're okay, okay. But maybe it's the sense of you're both wrong. How about that? But here's some interesting news. Pennsylvania voters select Biden and Trump to represent the parties this November, AP reports. Trump and Biden have already gathered enough delegates to secure their primary's nomination, but still appeared on ballots alongside challengers Democratic Minnesota Representative Dean Phillips and former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley. I totally forgot the primaries are still going on. It's pretty much, it's over, but still.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania residents voted in the state primaries on Tuesday, selecting President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump to represent their primary. Trump and Biden have already gathered enough delegates to secure the party's nominations, but still appear on the ballots. Okay. But here's the thing. If you actually look at the poll numbers, Nikki Haley pulled in 30-something percent of the GOP voters in Pennsylvania, one of the swing states. And that's a big issue. Whereas in Biden is ahead of Trump as far as voter turnout by over 100,000 votes.
Yeah, I wonder if
by the way, this is not polls. These are actual votes. So of the GOP vote base, Trump is down by 30% that has gone to Nikki Haley. Now you're going to say, well, were those Democrats? Well, even if they were, that proves the point even worse, that they're definitely going to vote Joe Biden come the actual general election. Pennsylvania could potentially be a blue state. I'm just saying, and this is not from polls. This is saying this is the data. Go look for yourselves. It's all over the place right now.
I wonder if people just didn't show up to vote.
Potentially.
Because Trump has already clinched the...
There is that potential.
But again,
it's actually probably likely it's probably likely. But to what level?
I think people should show up to vote regardless, you know.
Yeah, but would you?
Yes.
I don't think I would. I mean, if I know, like, hey, it's Pennsylvania, Trump's already got the delegates, what's the point?
I would still show up.
Think so?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, I mean, you're also plugged into this, though. I think a lot of voters probably are not.
But if you see that, I could see it both ways, but I would definitely get out and vote anyway.
What's the percentage of GOP voters that actually participate in primary voting? It's not a high percentage. It's actually a very small percentage.
Is it?
Yeah. It's actually kind of pathetic, to tell you the truth, but still.
That's a handsome question.
It's a very handsome question. Chat, look it up. I'm too lazy. So voters also cast ballots for Senate, where incumbent Democratic Senator Bob Casey won the Democratic nomination. Republican hopeful Dave McCormick won the Republican nomination. Both ran unopposed, and the race is expected to be one of the most competitive in November, where Republicans are hoping to flip the upper chamber. Several House races were also called on Tuesday, where the incumbent GOP Brian Fitzpatrick beat his challenger Mark Huck for the GOP nomination. Blah, blah, blah. It just goes on for that. But yeah, the numbers aren't looking good for Pennsylvania. And that's just, again, one of the five swing states that Trump had lost in the 2020 election. And those are the states that people are looking at right now. Now, swing states could change. I'm not sure what they are, what they're projected for being for 2024. But they were looking at the blue wall. They were looking at Pennsylvania being one of them. I forget the rest.
Michigan. Wisconsin.
And I forget. I think those were the blue wall, states.
Didn't the RNC just hire like 100,000 poll watchers?
I have no idea.
I think they did.
Did they?
Yeah.
They should. You got to secure the election. I mean, you absolutely should.
So, and I think states are doing, their due diligence on making sure
they should be
voting is secure, or at least more secure than 2020.
Yeah. Well,
18 million votes show up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's why it irks me. Like, I don't like Carrie Lake. I'm not a fan of her. I think she's a wolf in sheep's clothing. But I also feel like her lawsuit that got rejected by the Supreme Court of banning electronic voting, I'm kind of for it. I don't want electronic. I want ballot voting. But at the same time, though, they're still going to find a way because they brought in ballots. So
stuffed them into the boxes.
Yeah, so it's like, realistically, I mean, I think the only way you have is that you get law enforcement there. And then you also get ballot watchers. And I think that the electronic voting should be banned, though, simply because that you're not relying upon a software that none of us understand.
Yeah.
Everybody understands ballot voting. That's fine. Now, the likelihood of them cheating at that is still going to be there. But I think it's like instead of having two potential ways of cheating, now you've narrowed down to one. So you bring in more poll watchers, more ballot counters, and there you go. So, yeah, I kind of agree with her on that. But the Supreme Court's like, no, we're not going to have that. They're going to be able to vote electronically. I don't agree with that. I generally do not agree with that. So, California fast food chains have found a way to bypass rising minimum wages, and it's bad news for the staff. Just get off the top of our head, what do you think they did?
I don't know, self-automated stuff like at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And classic true to form economic responses to when you want, the government wants to, state government wants to come in and regulate the free market. This is what happens. When the introduction of a $20 minimum wage in California on April 1st, turmoil has swept through the fast food industry. Many workers are seeing reduced hours, while others have lost their jobs as restaurants contended with escalating operational costs.
You're welcome, guys.
You're welcome. We got more people fired, but hey, at least you're getting $20 an hour. Oh, but by the way, your hours are getting cut. So you're making about the same amount. Overseeing 140 Burger King locations on the West Coast, Harsh Gay is rapidly advancing adoption of technology. Quicker than anticipated, he's implementing digital ordering kiosks, which we have kiosks in probably about 25% of our restaurants today, he said, spotlighting his tech-driven approach to mitigating wage pressures. Way to go. You just outsource more jobs to technology. So again, the pathway to hell paved with great intentions. Of course we want to make them affordable, blah, blah, blah. But every time you try and come in there and fix it, you screw it up. You screw it up. And you just did it again.
I know. Lower taxes. You stupid assholes.
I agree. Across fast food chains, digital kiosks are becoming more prevalent. Driven by imperative to reduce labor costs, the pivot towards automation is crucial, not merely for cost savings, but to make sure you get your fucking order right. I'm just kidding. Even then, they're going to screw it up. Would you like fries with that? Oh, listen, dude. Oh, my God. What are they paying this robot? Ensuring survival as operational expenses climb and menu prices cannot be raised sufficiently. The double-edged sword of wage increases. Higher wages was intended to enhance worker well-being and have paradoxically triggered job reduction within the fast food industry. Such adverse outcomes emphasize the difficult equilibrium between offering fair pay and maintaining viable employment levels. Again, what is fair pay? Well, a fair pay is a fair day's wage. What's a fair day's wage? Because a fair day's wage in Texas is going to be very different than a fair day's wage in California. Why? Because there's massive economic disparities there. So, again, for California to say, you know, $20 is a fair day's wage for flipping burgers, and meanwhile, businesses are like, no, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah.
But just like I said, McDonald's, they're going to invest in technology advancement, and they're going to be fine. Meanwhile, mom and pop operations, goodbye.
Yeah, here's a crazy idea.
You just favored the monopoly. You just favored the corporations. Good job.
If you lower the corporate tax rate, then maybe they could pay their employees more.
Maybe if you let them keep more of their tax money, they clearly show with successful businesses they can do it. So maybe if you let them keep their money, we're taxed 21%. 21%.
Yeah, so we were talking about this earlier that so our tax rate right now is 21%. So that's what Trump lowered it to. And I think it was like 34% before that.
Yeah.
So Biden is talking about raising it back up to 28%. Jeez. And then also raising the taxes up, like raising it $5 trillion.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Businesses are just going under. I have friends on Facebook that I watch. And just one by one, these businesses are closing down. And, you know, it's so sad to see that. It is so insanely sad to witness what these people have built from the ground up.
Yeah, starting a business is not easy.
It's not easy. And now the odds are against you.
Because you have to not only try to build a customer base, but you have to fight the government at every single turn.
Every single turn.
You know, and you pay all these taxes and nobody from the government comes in and helps you or guide you through what you need to do to get to the next step.
Nope.
They don't do that. They
provide no service.
They send you a bill.
And they don't even close the border. They don't even protect us.
And the roads are like shit.
Every time
I hit a fucking pothole, I'm like, fucking government.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, Gavin Newsom really did it again. The hike in minimum wage is forcing fast food establishments like Pizza Hut and Round Table to downsize their staff to manage financial pressures. This harsh reality severely tests the purpose of wage increases. And, you know, the thing is, this is not new news. We're not economists here, but even we called it. It's like, this is what's going to happen. Why? Because we've seen this happen repeatedly. Repeatedly. Economists called this. But, you know, nobody cares. Nobody seems to give a shit.
No, they don't. I just think they're trying to crush the American people. I don't think they like us.
I think they're wanting to favor more corporate America, because if they have corporate America in charge, they can control them.
I think we voted for Donald Trump, and this is their backhand to us for stepping out of line.
Gavin Newsom likes Trump. I don't think this is that. Gavin Newsom and Trump are cool.
You think so?
They've said it. Trump takes jabs at people hard. He does not jab hard at Gavin Newsom. And Gavin Newsom does not jab hard at Donald Trump. In fact, they've called each other friends many times. So I don't think this is a way of taking a stab back at Republicans. Because if you think about it, it's primarily Democrats where they're at in California. Yeah, no, they're screwing their
American
own over.
American people in general. I just don't think they like us. I really don't. I think they think of us as smelly deplorables. I mean,
listless vessels.
Yeah, using their words.
Yeah, that's what they used for DeSantis towards MAGA that they misconstrued. But it was funny to me on that one. But I think this one, though, I think this is just a ploy to essentially weed out the mom and pop businesses, drive down consumer, what would you call it, competition. And then you favor corporations, and those corporations are going to lobby you, and you're going to favor the good ones, and ultimately you've got control over quote-unquote capitalism in America by proxy of the corporations that you've helped favored to destroy the underlying mom-and-pop businesses that offer competitive wage product or competitive price products. It's the truth. And here we are. Discussing the financial repercussions, Guy revealed the majority of what of that is going to get absorbed in the inflation of our food costs. He elaborated on the challenges of balancing rising expenses with the need to keep dining affordable. Dude, it's already bad enough that your burgers are like the size of a nickel and you're charging so much money for them. Like I said, I went to that diner the other day and like $27 for the entire meal, and it was actually a lot of good food. Decent sized burger, decent sized fries. I was like, this is how it should be. Mm-hmm. But now it's like we have to cut the meat down. We have to use steroids in our beef to save money, make these cows bigger, blah, 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 blah. Concerned about the alienating customers, Guy has cautiously approached the price increases, raising them by 8 to 10% over the last year. The raise is a significant jump from the typical annual adjustments. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. You think they're going to drop the minimum wage increase back down? No, it's there permanently now. They are not going to pull that back. Why? Because it's going to be met with so much protest from leftist Democrats, who, by the way, just lost a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
And you don't care about the causation for it. You only care about the aftermath of it. It's like, I lost my job. It's your fault. Fix this. Well, we tried fixing because of your whining. And this is what we did. You want us to fix this? Then you got to let the free market be the free market. Or you need to find a better job than being a burger flipper. That could be it. So once again, the lower economic class gets to call the shots on the quote-unquote capitalism or crony capitalism. And what do? They screw it all up. So rather than just them suck at life for being whatever reasons they are, now everybody has to suck at life. That's great. That's great. It's communism 101 right there. FBI Director Christopher Wray concerned about some kind of coordinated attack on the homeland. Oh, I guess I can pull an Alex Jones. They're gonna attack something, folks. They're gonna kill somebody, terrorist somewhere.
Right. Well, it's just a matter of time because they've let so many,
thank you,
illegal aliens into the country.
FBI Director Christopher Wray admitted that officials are concerned about the potential for some kind of coordinated terrorist attack, and the U.S. possibly reminiscent of the March terrorist attack at the Moscow concert hall at the hands of ISIS-K, which claimed well over 100 lives. America's.
That's why everybody who can
just crossing that
should arm yourself when you 100%. Leave. Leave your house. You know what I mean?
Telling you.
You got to protect yourself.
This is where we're at. But it's funny to me that the FBI director comes out and says this, but then that border is wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open.
Catch and release.
Yep.
Like that Lake and Riley, her killer.
Yep.
Like that kid had just a laundry list of crimes that he had committed, and they let him go
every time and time again. Why? Probably because they're foreign, they're a minority. We let intersectional politics overcome our decision making process, our rationality, if you will. And this is what we get. You're pandering to the weak, you're pandering to the woke, and this is what happens. Everyone has to suffer.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like the deeper we go, like I said, America needed 4 years of Biden. I think that finally Democrats are starting to wake up. Like, do you see how retarded your people are yet? Do you now look, I'm not trying to sit there and say the Republicans are the best out there. Of course they're not. But they're not as bad as Democrats.
No.
The left is just insane. The right, we're just retards. That's all there is to it.
At least you got some Massey's and
oh yeah. You know, he's
Rand
taking
Paul's
it.
And
they're going after him on Twitter.
I mean, at least you have some of those people in the. Yeah. But you can be like, okay, this guy's probably at least 85% honest.
So Massey apparently had posted a video of. I don't know if you saw this video. Did y'all catch the video on the House floor of all the Democrats waving Ukraine flags when the bill passed? Did you see that? So Thomas Massey records this, or he posts somebody else's recording of this. And apparently they're like, you know, the Speaker Johnson was considering fining him $500 for posting something like that. And it's like, wait, so in an American chamber of Congress, you're waving another country's flag?
Yeah.
And you're not going to get fined for that? But you post a video of these fruitcakes doing this. That you'll get fined for? And then Mike Johnson comes out in true Xerxes fashion. I am a merciful God. I will not fine you. And then Lauren Boebert certainly doesn't miss her chance to virtue signal. It's like, I'm writing Thomas Massey a check to cover the fine. Boebert, you've got more important issues to worry about, like getting your son's legal fees paid for. Sit your big-titted, freaking vaping, groping ass down and shut the hell up. You're an embarrassment to the right. You're another freaking knockoff, great value brand Marjorie Taylor Greene with even less IQ points, quite honestly. And again, Thomas Massey ain't hurting for money, so he doesn't need your $500. Shut the fuck up and stop virtue signaling. We see right through your bullshit. It's ridiculous. Yeah, that's how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Our representatives are freaking idiots. Idiots. Oh, BBC apologizes for false report on J.K. Rowling's transgender comments and forced to apologize. BBC has issued an apology for running a false report on Harry Potter novelist J.K. Rowling's comments about transgenders, admitting that its reporting was inaccurate, while also admonishing its journalists about the importance of accuracy. Say, what? Your journalist lied? No way.
Huh.
No way that happened. Crazy, right? Congress waving Ukraine flags. Dude, I agree. Like, you're waving the flag of a corrupt foreign nation that is not even an ally. They're not even a NATO, and you're waving their flag. Now, look, I'm all for freedom of speech. I get it. But as draconian as some of those House laws are, like, just made it to where you could actually wear head wraps or hats or whatever in the House. It's like, okay. But now, perfectly fine to bring in a Ukraine flag and wave it around.
Yep.
I understand freedom of speech, but that's the place where you set the example.
Yeah, what country are you representing?
What country are you representing?
It's clearly not us.
It's not us. And Democrats are fine. That's what I'm saying. America is going globalist at the hands of the left. They want us globalists. They want one united world organization, if you will. It's not going to work. Like, they want worldwide communism in a sense, if you think about it.
Yeah.
It's very socialism, rather. Excuse me. But still, it's hilarious to me. And they buy, because we just need to love everybody and hold hands and kumbaya. I don't want to hold hands with a Muslim terrorist. I don't care about them. I don't care about any of them. I don't care that innocents got murdered in Japan when they dropped the A-bomb. Tucker Carlson needs to pull the tampon out of his asshole and stop being a little bitch.
Yeah, I really feel like you're infringing on my right to pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, you're evil if you think that was a good thing. It saved American lives. It saved a lot of people's lives. Why don't you condemn the evil they were doing prior to that? Nothing for that. It's interesting how the likes of Candace Owens, you know, the race grifter extraordinaire that bounces from Turning Point, Daily Wire, over to probably the Tucker Carlson retard network. You don't acknowledge any of the atrocities. Well, actually, she does. She tries to downplay what Hitler was all about. It's like, guys, hey, it wasn't 6 million Jews. It was more like 3 million. Come on. Was it really that bad? You tried to minimalize and trivialize what the Third Reich was all about. In order to sit there and turn around and say, you know, I really feel like they're pushing a globalist message. I really do. These people are globalists. I think Tucker is. I think Candace Owens are. They're just exposing themselves for who they truly are really about.
You think so?
I 100% think so.
I have to start listening to his podcast or whatever it is that his videos.
It's just the Joe Rogan stuff that I sat and listened to. I was like, this guy's a fucking moron. He's a moron.
I'll have to check it out.
You should. Go give a listen.
Yeah.
It's very eye-opening. And, you know, Tucker lays it out in a manner that's very convincing to the, I'd say, the average American. Like, no, he makes some points. It's critical thinking. That's not critical thinking. That's just saying, I don't think for myself, and I'm willing to have my mind changed based upon inaccurate historical examples. Like, for example, Candace Owens talked about Dresden was bombed and they were persecuting Christians as a result of that. You know that we bombed Germany during Christmas and we murdered fellow Christians. So she, and you know, she added in her tweet that no longer will Christians not be allowed to discuss the atrocities shown towards them. And this, again, this is more winks and subtle nods to anti-Semitism, to paint Christians as if we're the victims. Now, don't get me wrong. Throughout history, every race has been subjected to slavery.
Wait, I could be a victim too?
Exactly.
All right.
Now, so I'm not saying, I'm not saying that Christians are not under attack, but this is what Candace Owens and her ilk do. You try and bring in this side-by-side comparison that sounds and briefs well, but it's not true. Where in this America are you not allowed to discuss Christian heritage or history? You can still discuss it. Are you being attacked on social media for it? Of course you are. But are they limiting your First Amendment? No, they're not. Are they being a bunch of assholes? Yes, they are. I've said it before. Christians are under attack. Our way of life, our beliefs, they're challenging them, which that's always been that way. If you're Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. But Candace Owens is trying to create this juxtaposition that, you know, Christians right now are under attack and they've lied about, you know, historical examples throughout World War II to protect the Jews. It's really Christians that are the victims here. And you're just like, what happened to you? Like, what happened to you? She's a grifter. Candace Owens is an idiot. She's an idiot. And why anybody gives these people a platform is beyond me. But makes money and makes clicks. That's conning for you. All right, folks, that does it for today's episode of the All-American Savage Show Podcast. Appreciate you being here. Again, code 420 saves you 20% site-wide at shellshockcbd.com. Don't forget to go check that out. Stock up on your products now. 20% off. Again, code 420. Also, go check us out at 1920brand.com for your wonderful beverage cocktail mixes. Love it. Appreciate y'all supporting us. Hopefully, I didn't rile up the chat too much today, but you're not changing my mind on Alex Jones. It's never going to happen. Stop it. Stop doing that.
We love Alex.
Love Alex. Love him if you want. I'm not saying don't listen to him. Don't come in my chat and try and convince me. He's like, he's gotten a lot wrong. So, all right. That does it today. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. You got anything to add, my man?
You guys have a great night.
And as always, stay savage, America.